The Financial Sector Conduct Authority, also known as the FSCA, recently announced that the collection of blood samples and medical examinations as part of underwriting for life insurance does not qualify as an essential service and must be avoided. This allows laboratories to focus on critical activities to combat the COVID-19 virus and lowers the risk of transmission to doctors and medical staff. While a sensible course to follow, what does this mean for individuals who are looking to get insurance cover during the lockdown? Well, to give us more detail, I'm joined on the line by Marius Botha. He's the Managing Director at Stanjan Life. Thanks very much, Marius, for joining us. So how much of a challenge does the FSCA's ruling on blood samples and medical examinations during the lockdown pose to the insurance industry in writing up new life insurance business?
The good news for listeners is that most life insurance companies do have alternative products where instead of the very large cover amounts that require more comprehensive medical underwriting, we do have products with lower cover amounts where we don't have the requirement for example, an HIV test to be conducted. And so as an example, from a Stanjan perspective, we would grant cover up to 1.5 million on our Express Life product, and then we only answer 5 medical-related questions, and then customers would qualify for cover.
Right. So being considered essential services, the insurance sector is currently up and running. So what life cover options are available to people seeking cover during the lockdown, apart from the Stanjan one that you just mentioned?
At the lower end of the market, we still provide funeral cover, which customers can, for example, purchase online from insurance companies' websites. And then we, as I've explained, on a semi-underwritten type product like our Express Life, you can get life cover up to 1.5 million. If you do want more life cover that does require some form of underwriting, you can still apply for cover, and we would, for example, defer the appointment date with a traveling nurse to be after the lockdown. At this stage, we're hoping that it would end after the extension that was done. But if there's a further extension of the lockdown, then we would just continue deferring the appointments for the higher cover amount until such time as customers can go for them.
But what does that actually mean in practice? So you go for the high cover amount, you defer the appointment in terms of bloods and so on, but the person goes shopping to their local Woolies and then they get run over by a taxi. Are they covered?
In the instance of an accidental death, they would still be covered if the policy has commenced without that underwriting test being conducted. So, yes, for accidental death, they would be covered. If it's a natural cause of death, it would depend on the circumstances. So it might be advisable to rather take full cover on the lower cover amount in this instance. I mean, you can always upsell or buy up higher cover once we can do medical tests.
Mm. Are there more stringent requirements from, you know, for people who are suspected to be at risk of something like HIV, for example?
In the normal course, yes. Customers who are HIV positive should disclose it. We always advise honest disclosure. Depending on the circumstances and how they've answered all the other questions, so for example, are they on antiretroviral treatments? What is their CD4 count? We may still offer them decent cover amounts. If there is other associated high risk, let's say hereditary disease type factors, then
yes.
In some instances we would decline cover. So it all depends on the holistic risk profile of a customer.
Mm. Of course, part of the reason we're having this conversation is because there's this horrible virus lurking around the world. Presumably these days, one of the issues insurers would want to be aware of if someone has, you know, coronavirus, or, you know, they suspect they could have come into contact with someone who has coronavirus. Are those some of the questions that are asked these days?
Interestingly enough, not all reinsurers have changed their processes to ask a COVID-19 related question. The reason for that is, on the basis of available evidence, it seems most people with a strong immune system would recover after acquiring the virus. And so that in itself doesn't necessarily present a death risk or a permanent disability risk. At most, you would be in isolation or quarantine for a few days. If you are a customer who has other associated health issues. Again, depending on the circumstances, we may still grant you cover. But clearly, if there's respiratory type illnesses, then we would be concerned at this stage if you have acquired the virus or if you are likely to have been exposed. And so it is, for example, important to disclose if you're a person under investigation at this stage when you apply for life cover.
Yes. So in terms of your experience so far with the lockdown and so on, have you had any claims in relation to people, you know, loss of income and all those kinds of things?
So we haven't, from a Sagen perspective, seen any material increase in claims on either our life portfolio or funeral portfolio. Mm. I think it's still early days in terms of the number of deaths as a result of COVID-19. So I think the last numbers I saw were 27 deaths. And so out of the whole population, that's a small number. From an operational point of view, however, what we have seen is on other illnesses and claims, customers have been struggling to obtain the medical reports from either their GPs or, let's say, hospital physicians.
Yes.
As a result of the preparation for COVID-19. And so we've responded as a life insurance company by just relaxing some of the claims evidence requirements that we would typically get from the beneficiaries or the claimants, just to assist during this period, because it's a reasonable argument from the customer perspective that they can't necessarily find those documents.
Right. I was also referring to, you know, there are those options whereby you can insure your income, and then if something happens and you're no longer able to earn that income, you can claim from your insurance. That's what I'm referring to. Are you having any approaches in that regard?
So what you're referring to is a salary protection or income protection policy.
Yes.
Our advice to customers are they need to make sure that they still buy that product for the right reason. The reason being, if you acquire the coronavirus and you are, let's say, quarantined for a period, which may be, for example, 2 to 3 weeks, the product isn't necessarily going to give you a payout. Given that there typically is a deferred period where we would wait for employees to first utilize their sick leave, we would first establish the nature of the illness. Does it arise to a temporary disability from which they can recover, or ultimately permanent disability? So income protection will not necessarily be a good product from an occupational disability perspective at this stage. If, however, you are looking for loss of income cover,
yes,
as a result of the virus, and it's not necessarily related to a disability or an infection of COVID-19, those products typically have a requirement that you need to honestly disclose at sales stage whether you are aware of any possible retrenchments at your company or the risk or likelihood of being retrenched. And so if you a good faith customer at this stage where you're not aware of any possible retrenchment risk, depending on the nature of the company that you work for, we would still sell you a salary protection policy. But if you're a customer who are aware in a claim stage, clearly that would be one of the things that we're looking at is, again, did you honestly disclose? So I just advise customers to make sure still buy a salary protection policy for the right reason over
yes.
the long term, not necessarily because you're now worried about COVID-19.
That was Marius Botha. He's the Managing Director at Stangen Life.